with us this morning.
That you would fall on sons and daughters, so come. I feel it in my bones. I feel it in my bones. You're about to move. I feel it in the wind. You're about to ride it. That you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So like the rain come to rain just in love, and let your glory rush in like a flood. Yes, can hear it now, the sounds of heaven. You said that if we ask, we'll receive. And we are asking for the greater measure. So like the raindrop drenched just in love, and let your glory rush in like a flood. We are fixed and we are fixed on this one thing, to know your goodness and see your glory. And we're transformed by this one thing, to know your presence and see your beauty.
So I'm gonna need you to sing this part out with me and just ask the Spirit to be in this room right now. So come and blow on through, and Spirit move, we're ready for you. So come and blow on through, and Spirit move, we're ready for you. So come and blow on through. As we go into this next song, feel free to sit, to pray, but the focus of this song is to simply ask God to dwell in the midst of us. So if you want to remain standing and sing along, you are more than welcome to. You can sit and listen to these words. You can go into your time of prayer right now. But we're just going to ask for God to be in this room right now and to listen to everything that is on the hearts of every single person in this room.
Dwell in the midst of us. Come and dwell in this place. Dwell in the midst of us. Come and have your way.
right, so without further ado, I want to introduce our guest speaker for the day. I really like this woman. And I just met her when we did a panel discussion, but there's something about her, what I would call vibrancy. Something special just about her. And in fact, I remember distinctly, in fact, I met her wife as well. And I remember as they were walking out the door, I was like, I am going to go hunt them down. Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, right? Oh, and she's smiling away. Because I was just so impressed by her, her presence. And also Lizzie. Lizzie is her wife. 1 year marriage. Congratulations. And so, Grace, come on forward. Come on forward. Grace, similar Baldridge, is a folk songwriter, singer. And so, yes. And also, you have a documentary, right? State of Grace?
If you like or hate what you hear today, I would encourage you to check out my doc series on YouTube called State of Grace that I do through Refinery 29, and we explore social issues through the lens of faith. So it's super hot topics and really sometimes tricky, but I love doing it, and I think it's important conversations. Maybe if something's difficult to talk about, we should be talking about it more. So
right. And so, and one of those topics we were talking about was conversion therapy.
Yeah,
she was dealing with one of those hot topics. But also we were talking about the difference between welcoming and affirming.
Yes.
This is an affirming community of faith. Share the word. This is an affirming community of faith which welcomes everyone as you are. There are no stipulations, correct?
Well, obviously.
Obviously. Without further ado, let's welcome Grace.
Wow. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here. Off the top, this is my first time I've ever preached, so we'll get through this together. And I'm just so grateful that y'all invited me to speak with you here today. My name is Grace. And I would like to begin with a reading from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. If anyone has a Bible, if you don't, I'll follow along. My child, do not forget my teaching. Keep my commands in your heart. They will help you live for many years, and they will bring you peace and success. Don't let love and truth ever leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and a good name in the eyes of God and people. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths smooth and straight. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding. I was raised in the church, my dad is an Episcopal priest, and this verse is one of the hits, as I like to call them. You know, like we have like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, 1 Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind. It's like one of those verses that you recite from memory in youth group if you were extremely cool like me. I actually have the words, lean not on your own understanding, tattooed on my arm right here. My mom was thrilled. I think sometimes when a verse becomes so ubiquitous that it can lose its impact. So even the most poignant, relevant, simple, honest, and revealing of Bible verses and stories, they can become familiar, mundane, maybe even boring if we hear them too often. It's like if you hear a song too many times on the radio, even if you love the song, you know, you can become tired of it. For example, I am a big Carly Rae Jepsen fan, and talk to me after the service. And even I got sick of Call Me Maybe in 2012, okay? So today, I hope to challenge how you have heard this verse, if you have heard this verse before. And if you have not heard this verse, I would like to share with you how leaning not on my own understanding and trusting in God with all of my heart has helped me to embrace my wonderful and holy human stupidity. I'm a really stupid person. I'm so sorry. I really am. I'm a stupid person, and I do not say that to diminish myself, and I don't say that to put myself down at all. I actually find such a deep and godly comfort in embracing and recognizing how little I could ever hope to understand about life's mysteries. There are so many things in this world that escape the limits of reason in my mind. There is senseless cruelty, sickness, heartbreak, corruption, war, famine, abuse, neglect. And when I consider this brokenness, I find no comfort in my own understanding. I can take a hard right turn into judgment and righteous condemnation and hopelessness real fast. And let's hope I'm not on Twitter when that happens. But as Christians, we are not called to despair these questions and these doubts that plague our humanity and our human condition. We are called to be hopeful. It feels impossible. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, we are told, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So to put our hope in the Lord is to soar on wings like eagles. And I want a hope like that. I want a faith like that. And while my walk in faith has at times been like the final girl in a horror movie dragging herself along the floor to escape the villain, I'm still here. And I'm here because I have found where to lean. So when questioned about the greatest commandment, a real gotcha question, Jesus responds with another one of these hits, okay? Matthew chapter 22. You all know it. Sing along. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And this is why I find such a deep comfort in my God-given human stupidity. I don't know why there's suffering. I don't know why evil exists, why people hurt people in the name of the God that I pray to. But my Savior does not call me to know this. We can't. But in God's infinite mercy and devotion to us, we all have the capacity to love and in turn to be loved. Even the most educated and intelligent among us can only begin to scratch the surface of our expansive universe, but the possibility of love is inside everyone. Think of someone that you love unconditionally. A parent, a significant other, a sibling, a friend, a pet. Think of the joy that you feel when they succeed, and the pain that you feel when they hurt, and the sadness when they turn from you, and what lengths you would go to for them. How blessed are we to have been gifted the most micro example within ourselves of how surely God must love us. So when we lean on our own understanding, we create division. We crave power, we celebrate greed, we forget the least among us. Left to our own devices, we will pick apart God's word and lean on our frail human interpretations to discriminate, to cast aside, and to condemn. We will reason that surely God meant this and not that, and therefore some of us are more worthy than others. And Jesus knew we would do this. He knew us, and he knew how our tiny human brains would seek to only complicate the mind and will of God. So he made it simple for us. He made it so simple. I think it's like the song maybe you've heard a few too many times that we skip over this. "Love the Lord your God. And in so doing, you will love your neighbor as yourself." A holy, unconditional love is not confusing or complicated. I once had a friend cry to me over the phone about how hard it was for her to let me know that she didn't think God intended for gay people to get married. But she had to let me know this because she loved me. Her own understanding was telling her that I was not worthy of marriage, but her heart was breaking as she told me. God gave us this capacity for loving one another, and when we turn away from this, we know that it doesn't feel right. We know that's not love, and it shouldn't, because that was God's design. That's why we have this immense capacity within our own hearts. So there will be trials, and there will be seasons in this life that we won't understand, challenges that will feel like we're forever stupid to them, and that's okay. I actually think that that's not where we're called to lean. We're not called to lean on our own understanding. We must lean on God and lean with our hearts. Maybe that's not such a stupid thing. Amen.
On. Yes, there we go. Short and sweet. Boom. I love it. I love it.
I mean, I'm a daughter of a, you know, preacher, so I know a long sermon and I know to stay away from it. I've had my mom in the front row being like this to my dad before.
No. So I want to ask you.
Oh man, I'm off script.
Yeah, but it's cool. Just focus on me. Forget about them.
Okay.
All right. So, lovely message. Great message. Right. So, when people cause division in your life, or they are saying, you know what? What you did with Lizzie, that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
I know that brings up feelings, right? So, but what action steps do you take? How do you offset that for yourself?
Well, I guess, I mean, to go back to the example that I gave of my friend, which is fortunately for me the only sort of major rejection I ever experienced in my life, I cried with her. I mean, honestly, we were on the phone and she's crying and I knew it was hard for her, you know? And that's what's weird. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. It's this person that you know loves you, but is not being loving to you, but I don't know. So we just cried together. We did. And to be honest, we're still navigating what this means for our relationship. But the one thing that I wanted to make very clear for her is, and this is hard too, is that I don't love her any less. I just don't understand why it went down that way, you know? And I think that, you know, opening myself up to a conversation and letting her know that I would be receptive to it was important for me. Now, she has not taken me up on that. But I think it was important to, I said, you know, the door is always open. You ever want to talk, I'm here. And I think that was my action step, was saying that we're, you know, I think we're in different places. I don't know what your church is saying about this, but I would love to speak with you about it. And also just recognizing that, I believe that, you know, that feeling, that like really true feeling of love is, we all know what that feels like and you know what it doesn't feel like. So I think that's what was confusing, is having someone hurt you and then be like, but I love you. And I'm like, well, that's not how, you come on, you know that's not how love feels. You know, like, you know how it is to love a friend and support them, and it doesn't feel that way. And it's hard for me to imagine the God that I pray to is smiling down, is like, yes, this was the right thing, especially since Jesus is in four books. He kept it short and sweet. He made sure, he's like, you guys are gonna mess this up, so I'm gonna make it real clear for y'all. And so, like, I think that when we get into the splicing and dicing, and that's why I love that passage of, like, love the Lord your God, and in so doing, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Are you loving yourself? Are you accepting of yourself? Are you as loving of yourself as you are of, you know, your neighbor? All this stuff, and we make it so complicated, and I think that's kind of the position. Sorry, I went on a tangent.
That was a good tangent, right? Yes, right? So so you're talking about this. I want to keep going to this because I see a state of grace within you.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. No, but truly a state of grace, because you're still willing, even though someone is saying, you know, what you did is wrong, but you're still saying, my door is open to walk with you. Mm-hmm. In understanding who I am and who God has called me to be. That is a state of grace.
Well, it's certainly not a fun state of grace, but I will say that, you know, I think that's another thing that when we look to the example, the lived example of Jesus Christ, he could not have been more clear about that. You know, it's like, it's all about sort of, you know, turning the other cheek. It's we make this, I think, far more complicated than it needs to be. And I think that, you know, we're so fortunate and so blessed to have had this account of the lived life of Jesus. It just sometimes is hard. It's like, well, I'm not going to turn the other cheek. They were so wrong. Like, but they were wrong. I need to set a boundary here. I'm not saying it's fun, but I'm just saying that to me, it's so clear that is what you are called to do, knowing that, like, you might come out, you know, just feeling like worn down, like an absolute doormat sometimes. And I, you know, of course there are occasions to stand up for yourself, but when it comes to loving someone, like truly loving someone, I feel like that is a non-negotiable. And you know, we find ways when it's difficult to reason that this is an occasion where we don't love, but I don't see that.
And in the injustices of the world, we are also supposed to speak out.
Absolutely.
Right, with grace.
Yeah.
Right? So when you see Twitter blowing up, right?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? personally?
Well, I think, I guess for Twitter specifically, as a good rule of thumb, I think that name-calling is probably not the best place to start. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I mean, it's just sort of like, is what I am doing, is what I am contributing to this conversation productive? Is this helping someone to feel affirmed in who they are and what the opinion that they're expressing? If the opinion is harmful, am I helping the situation by lashing out at them? Mm-hmm. Am I giving this, is this a distraction that would serve to only further us from our greater mission, which is you know, serving the Prince of Peace, that's unity, that is love, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's so easy that we have so many distractions today. And I think that we really are called to get back to basics. You know, and I think that sometimes that's scary because we've all been hurt and we've all commit hurt in our lives. And so throughout all of that, to get to a point of giving unconditional love and also then being open to receiving that same unconditional love, knowing that everyone is bruised and broken here, that's a hard task.
Yes. Yes.
Just stay off the internet late at night.
Sometimes you just need to stay off the internet, period.
Yes, sometimes. Right?
So I want to thank Grace for being with us today. You know, you're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
You and Lizzie anytime. I know you're going to Malibu, but hey, Harmony, you got a home here too.
Thank
all
you
right?
so much.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Why don't you stand and pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor before we do this last song?
Actually, while you guys do that, I'm going to interrupt for a second because we did have a very special occasion. Happened this Thursday. I don't know, or was it Wednesday? It was Wednesday. It was our fearless worship leader had a birthday. So I would like you all, she didn't know that I could do this, and she's gonna kill me right now. So I would like you all to join me in singing happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. She's gonna kill me later.
Melinda, happy birthday to you.
She's gonna kill me.
Okay, now pass the peace.
Pray for me. Pray for me, guys.
Upon the Lord.